started. And if you didn't sign the register, go ahead and do that. There's one at the end of the pew, and fill that out. And I think if you are coming, I don't know if there's services Wednesday night. Yeah, so sign the register if you're going to have them come for the meal. Mark that down. I'm Donna Witsit, and as Heidi said, that Jack is in Florida, warmer than we are here. So I have volunteered. I can't believe I did that. I volunteered to do this today, but God willing, we'll all manage to get through this. Let's pray for the message. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the time that we have to worship you. And Lord, we just lift you up above all other names. You are an awesome God. And we thank you for the love that you shower down on us. We thank you for the snow that makes things just beautiful. And thank you for allowing us to be here today through that. Lord, just bless this message. As it works in our hearts, let those things that you want us to hear be heard, and open our ears and our minds and our hearts to your word for us today. And I just give you honor and praise, Lord. Take care of me as we do this, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today I'm going to talk to you about being a disciple. And as I was reflecting on what a disciple was, I recalled a television show from the 70s called Kung Fu. Most of you, or some of you, are a little too young to remember that, but I grew up in the 70s, so I'm going to explain it to you a little bit. Kung Fu was about the adventures of a man called Kane, who was on a journey through the West looking for his American father, and he only had his spiritual training and his skill in martial arts to protect him. He'd been raised in China under the Shaolin masters, Blind Master Po and Master Khan. And each week there was some lesson that Kane had learned that protected him or gave him insight into his life in the Old West. He would have a flashback to when he was under the tutelage of one of his masters, and he would recall a lesson he had learned. And one of the first lessons he was taught was to be still. Kane was speaking to Blind Master Po and commented, "Of all things, to live in darkness must be the worst." And Master Po replied, "Fear is the only darkness. Never assume that because a man has no eyes, he cannot see. Close your eyes. What do you hear?" So Kane closed his eyes and he said, "I hear the water. I hear the birds." And Master Po asked him, "Do you hear your own heartbeat?" Kane said, "No." Master Po said, "Do you hear the grasshopper at your feet?" And Kane asked, "Old man, how is it that you hear these things?" And Blind Master Po asked, "Young man, how is it that you do not?" From that moment on, the blind master befriends Kane and becomes his mentor. The two masters, Master Po and Master Khan, affectionately gave Kane the nickname Grasshopper as they discipled him. Jesus passed by and he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And Jesus said to him, "Grasshopper, follow me." Matthew got up and followed Jesus. Matthew went from being a tax collector to a disciple. Jesus continually challenged people to follow him, but much of the time, his ways were rejected. Even today, people reject his teachings, and even churchgoers don't want to be spiritually challenged. We want Jesus to take care of us, but we sure don't want to call us out of our own way of thinking or trade our ways for his ways. And we certainly aren't willing to let the Lord lead us. We think we are the masters of our destiny. But in reality, in order for us to realize our true destiny, to fulfill our God-ordained goals, we must trade our ways for the ways of Jesus. And therein lies the challenge. Jesus wants us to follow him, to become like him, and in other words, to be his disciples. Jesus saw Peter and Andrew casting a net into the sea, and he said, "Grasshoppers, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Peter and Andrew went from fishermen to disciples. And Jesus says to us, "Grasshoppers, follow me." If I'm to become something, I want to know what it is, right? Googling the word disciple gives us a general idea of what a disciple is. Disciple comes from Greek origin, and it means a pupil of a certain teacher, an apprentice of a master, craftsman, or a student. A disciple is one who learns from a teacher. Well, that's a pretty simplistic definition. I think being a disciple of someone is pretty intense. I think it means I study every tiny little part of what that master says so that I can be just like him. I crave his teachings. I follow his every move. Every fiber of my being is focused on everything he says, everything he does, everywhere he goes, everything. This is probably why Jesus said that to become his disciple, we must deny ourselves and leave everything we know and love behind to follow him. Jesus provided his own definition of a disciple in John 13. He said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And in Luke 14:33, Jesus tells us we must renounce everything else in our life to be considered his disciple. Well, that's a pretty tall order. How could any of us accomplish that? Well, as hard as it all sounds, the great thing is that any one of us can choose to become a disciple of Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be a disciple of Christ. For some of us, today may be the beginning of a transformation of our lives and a new way of thinking. We've taken the first steps to becoming one of Christ's disciples. We're ready to absorb the words, actions, and motives of Jesus so that they progressively become the very essence of our being. They are ingrained in our heart and life. We want to become grasshoppers. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of Christ that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Philippians 2:5, part of it's in your bulletin. I'll just read it to you, but it's there for you to reference later. Philippians 2:5 and on says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Not everyone chooses this path. In fact, most refuse. Those who choose the life of a disciple are in store for a life of challenges, rewards, and a life of constant learning. And just as a natural student is ever learning, so is a disciple of Jesus, ever learning and absorbing the teachings of Jesus. Jesus is a loving teacher and invites everyone to follow him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Followers of Jesus display two distinct kinds of qualities that empower their leadership and service, and those are natural and spiritual qualities. Natural qualities are those qualities that each of us possess, whether we follow Jesus or not. They're born in us. Spiritual qualities are special gifts provided by the Holy Spirit that enable us to serve God and others. There are a couple things we need to know as we use our natural and spiritual qualities, though. And the first is to know your priority. What's your focus? Know where you're going and what you want to achieve. The number one priority of a disciple of Jesus is to know him first as Savior, then as Lord or Master, and then live out life helping others know him as Savior and Lord. In Matthew 6:30, Jesus said, "Grasshopper, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things you need will be added to you." Is Jesus your priority? The second thing we need to know as we use our natural and spiritual qualities is to know reality. A disciple is aware of what's going on around them. They understand their environment, and they understand the people around them. In order to influence others, we must first understand who people are and where they're coming from. Jesus met people where they were, and we're called to do the same. We find where Jesus modeled this characteristic in John 4. When Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman at the well, he started up a conversation with her and offered her living water. Jesus said, "Grasshopper, I am the Messiah, the Christ you seek." When she left the well and went back to the village, she told them she met a man who knew everything she had ever done. Jesus knew his environment and those in it. So now, what are the natural qualities a disciple needs? Well, the first is initiative. A disciple is a self-starter, takes responsibility, and sees opportunities to act. A disciple is open to the leading of God to reveal times and ways that you can love others. Pray to the Holy Spirit for courage to act. Show initiative, grasshopper. Next is discipline. Disciple is a part of the word discipline. Disciples are focused on following Jesus. They are obedient to God's will. They deny their own desires, set their own will aside in favor of God's will. And this is not always easy. Being disciplined is probably the hardest part of being a disciple for me. I believe I'm obedient to God's calling and will, but I find it hard to deny my own desires. However, I believe God is producing the fruit of self-control in me inch by inch. I have a bit of a free spirit, and routine is very difficult for me. God is working on my mindset and helping me see things through different eyes. As a result, I made it 6 days without drinking a soda. Yay, Jesus. Here's to the next 6 days. And since I've just confessed it, you can all help me do it. Because disciples also work with others in ministry through the body of Christ. This has just become a meeting of Soda Pops Anonymous. I hope you know. You're welcome. On a more spiritual note, I've also started a program of reading the Bible through in a year. I've read the Bible through before. I've studied the Bible a lot, but it's been a while since I've made it a point to be consistent with my readings. I have to say it's really been uplifting. Whatever you need to do, whatever you may be lacking, Jesus calls his grasshoppers to be disciplined. The third thing is empathy. Empathy is simply understanding another's circumstance without judgment. This is how Jesus ministered. He never condoned the sin, but he saw past the sin to see the real person. We need to pray for eyes like Jesus so that we can see others the way he sees them. Our son-in-law Donnie thinks I possess empathy. Well, I think it's because I'm a why person. So I do try to see where people are coming from and why they do the things they do. God has also instilled in me to be a peacemaker. And the way I do it is to help the warring parties see the other's point of view or the possible reasons why they behave the way they do. And this is a gift I've had since childhood. But I also pray daily for wisdom. Wisdom helps us understand others. Jesus calls his grasshoppers to show empathy. The fourth natural quality a disciple possesses is generosity. Everyone can use generosity to benefit others, but a disciple seeks to live out of God's abundance rather than their own. God gives to us in abundance, and when we receive of that abundance wholeheartedly, we're able to give generously to others. When we receive God's healing, love, forgiveness, restoration, then we can generously pass along God's love, healing, forgiveness, and restoration. This is what Jesus did in his earthly ministry. When he left to return to his disciples, or to heaven, he told his disciples that we would do more than he had ever accomplished. God is generous, and a disciple of Jesus is generous as well. God also imparts spiritual qualities to those who accept Jesus as their Savior. And these spiritual qualities set Christians apart from the world. These qualities enable us to move from being a believer to a disciple. And the first one is faith. Faith is the gift from God that gives us hope. Faith helps us to believe that Jesus can transform the world. Faith tells us that Jesus can heal. Faith tells us that Jesus can save that marriage or restore a broken relationship. Faith in God empowers us to press on to do what we never thought was possible. Have faith, grasshopper. The second spiritual quality is humility. Jesus says to humble ourselves as little children. In other words, don't think of yourself as more important than you are. A child is usually open to instruction, and Jesus calls us to empty ourselves so that we can be filled with his ways, his thoughts, his understandings. When we use our God-given talents in humility, God is exalted, not us. Humility means allowing God and not ourselves to judge our importance. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will exalt you in due time." Be humble, grasshopper. The third spiritual quality is hope. Spiritual hope is God's gift of confidence that his work will be accomplished through us. Hope is a belief deep down inside of us that encourages us to press on because we know that God's purposes are going to be fulfilled. Always hope, grasshopper. The final but most important spiritual quality is love. Jesus said he will know we are his disciples by our love for one another. We receive God's gift of agape love, and then we share that love with others. And the ultimate goal is to return the love back to him. That's our worship. In 1 John 4, provides us with a clear understanding of true discipleship. If we're not loving toward others, God says we really don't love Jesus. To love Jesus means we have to deny ourselves and our own ways, our own agendas, set aside our own hurts, and love others. This is what it means to be a disciple, grasshopper. 50 years ago, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I know it's hard to believe, isn't it? It wasn't pre-birth, I promise you. I was 9. I remember it well. I realized that I was a sinner in the need of a Savior, and I wanted Jesus. There was a song. It could have been Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, Calling to You and to Me, or Just as I Am, Without One Plea. And when I heard the music, I went to the altar and asked God to forgive me for my sins, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And just as he promised, he came into my heart and filled me with his great love and peace. I began my journey to transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength to that of Christ. I studied God's word, I worshiped, I prayed, I got involved in a youth group, I prayed in young adult participated in young adult activities, I attended retreats, helped with Bible school, Sunday school, I took a class on discovering God, a class on disciples, I even took a class called The Mind of Christ. In other words, I sat under the Master. I listened to his voice. I absorbed his teachings. I immersed myself in Jesus. I still do. In the 50 years since, I believe I've grown more and more like Christ, but I have much to learn. I am ever discovering new ways, new ideas, new strengths, and new weaknesses. God continues to reveal himself to me through the Bible. He has also challenged me to do things I never thought possible. I attended a great banquet in 1999, and in 2000, I was asked to give a talk. Even though I taught some classes, the last speech I had given was at high school graduation when I was a sassy 17-year-old. I'd never given a speech about Jesus in front of a bunch of people, and my goodness, what would I say? Jesus said, "Grasshopper, all the Bible study, all the training has led you to such a time as this. I will be with you and strengthen you." And he did. A year or two later, Berta suggested to me that I pay attention to what's going on at the great banquet, that one day I would be a lay director. And I think my comment back to her was, "Yeah, right." And guess what? A little bit later, I was asked to be a lay director. And as I recollect, my first thought was, there's no way I could organize and put anything like that together. And Jesus said, "Grasshopper, I've been preparing you for such a time as this. I will be with you and strengthen you." And he did. About a year ago, one of the attorneys in our law firm was diagnosed with a brain tumor deep in his thalamus. And while the doctors determined the tumor was not cancerous, there was a cyst that was growing on the tumor that caused some serious issues with his vision, equilibrium, and his thought processes. During 2015, he had two surgeries and numerous MRIs and other tests and procedures, and he was off work. I felt God's call to be his encourager. I was a little surprised, and I thought, how will that help? And Jesus said, "Grasshopper, I will give you the words, the wisdom, and the insight to help him. The Master sends us out to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. As freely as we have received, we are to freely give. I never cease to be amazed at how faithful God is when we allow him to work through us." Well, this attorney, Chris, had a radical treatment in the summer, and the doctors told him they wouldn't know if it worked for several months. He'd gone to one appointment without any change in his symptoms, and they wanted to give it some more time. Between those two appointments, he started having some different vision issues. And for whatever reason, during a conversation with him, God led me to comment that maybe the treatment was finally beginning to work. And that was the difference he was experiencing. And for whatever reason, or God's reason, Chris grabbed a hold of that remark and started believing that this was a beginning and a part of his healing. He told me he hadn't thought of it that way, and maybe I was right. His thinking was transformed. Healing began. And several weeks later, I woke up one morning thinking about one of my favorite scriptures found in Psalm 20. I felt compelled to share that scripture with Chris. At about 8 a.m., I mailed the psalm to him and told him it was a scripture that I read when I needed encouragement. I hoped it would give him encouragement as well. Chris told me that later that day, that about 5:30 a.m. that morning, he had been studying his Bible, and God had led him to that same scripture. Long before he ever saw my email, he read the same psalm. Jesus said, "See, grasshopper, God will work in your life when you take on the mind of Christ." Chris and I were both encouraged by God. And Chris has received healing from God, and he's back at work. The most recent thing, though, that God has called me to do as his disciple is to pray scripture and speak affirmations over my life and my family. I have prayed scripture over the years, but I know in order to truly have the mind of Christ, I must be intentional in my thoughts and prayers. Praying God's word back to him is what Jesus did, and my goal as a disciple is to model Christ. Speaking affirmations about myself is a bit of a new thing for me, though. I can speak affirmations over you, and I find it second nature to praise God for what he's about to do over different groups, but praising God for what he's about to do in me or speaking a scriptural affirmation about myself is much more difficult for me. But this grasshopper wants to see myself and others the way Jesus sees them. This grasshopper wants to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to bring sight to the blind, to love others more. And so I continue on my journey, learning, absorbing, growing, and acquiring the mind of Christ. Luke 6:40, which is in your bulletin. Let's go ahead and read that together to make sure you guys are awake still. Okay, here we go. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. This is my desire, and I hope it's your desire as well. To be a disciple of Christ means we are stepping into a leadership role. Leaders influence the thinking and actions of others by their very presence. Everything that happens around us is influenced by people. We don't have to have worldly power or authority to exert such influence. We only need to be who we are. As a disciple, we're called to be moral and spiritual leaders, challenging, encouraging, and influencing others by our example wherever we are. Whether we realize it or not, we all have influence on others and our environment. We determine what kind of influence that will be. If you want to impact your world for Jesus as his disciple, you must earnestly desire to lead all those around you to experience a life that is powered by the grace of God. During the course of his ministry, Jesus encountered thousands of people. Many received his words with joy, but very few chose to lay down their own lives and their own agendas to follow him. Discipleship is a choice. When we walk according to his commands, allowing his spirit to fill our hearts, we will realize the abundant life Jesus promised. Living as a disciple of Jesus is a joyous, spontaneous, and fulfilling way of life. Let's finish up by reading Romans 12:1-2 together. Here we go. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Grasshopper, have you heard Christ's call to become his disciple? What kind of disciple are you right now? And what kind of disciple is Jesus calling you to be? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word and being an awesome example to us. Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, that we can become more and more like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.